You are listening to Everywhere You Are, a podcast produced by the Dawson Women's Ministry. At Dawson, we recognize that women's ministry is not a class or a club you join. Ministry is not confined to the four walls of a church building, and it's not limited by life stages or circumstances. Rather, ministry is living a life of service everywhere you are. This podcast seeks to encourage you, everywhere you are, in the laundry room, driving carpool, at work, preparing a meal, or exercising. We believe God calls each of us to be ministers at all times in all places. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. Today we have another good conversation about the invitations of Jesus. As you listen, think about how you anchor your day and enjoy what Haley and Jalen have to say about that very thing. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. I'm Rachel Langston, your host, and our guests today are Haley Young and Jalen Hunter. Let's start with Haley. Haley, tell us where you are today.
Well, I am an empty nester, which is a very fun phase of life. I'm a part-time preschool speech-language pathologist in the school setting. And then I've been a member of Dawson since I was in graduate school. And that is 27 years that I've been here. I'm married to Jack, and I have two adult daughters. Lily is my recent college graduate. She's working in Birmingham. And then I have Stella, and she is a junior at Auburn.
All right. Jalen, where are you today?
Okay. I am a Birmingham native. I've been here all my life. Grew up here all my life. I am employed in the Homewood School Systems. I have been going to Dawson for about 2 years now, so it's been great for me. I am still at home with my family. I have an older sibling, and we're 11 years apart.
Wow. And so, okay, well, so this season we're talking about the invitations of Jesus, and in particular, three invitations that he gives his followers. The first one is to rest. The second one is to discipleship. And the third one is to abide with him. So we'll start with the invitation to rest and just kind of talk about restlessness, because I think we tend to be restless, whether we know it or not. So tell us about a time like when you experienced restlessness and how that led you to Christ or to the rest that he provides.
For me personally, I think rest is something very hard that I deal with. I'm not very good at it. I am a very big to-do list person, and some days I have a to-do list a mile long. I have different responsibilities in a lot of different areas in my life, and sometimes I feel like that can be very overwhelming. But I find for me just having to take a step back and just say a quick prayer or dive into my word and just give myself that peace of just stopping for just a second and then reining myself back in just to say, hey, you've got this. I'm having a big transition at work, and that's been kind of restlessness for me. I'm trying to find a different routine, trying to do things differently than I did last year, make myself better, but also trying to not take so much on where I'm not burning myself out. And I think that's hard because I want to have all the answers before school starts. And that's like 2 weeks away, and I still have so many unanswered questions. And God, what am I doing here? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this and juggle that and take care of this as well? Or how am I going to be this leader? And I find myself multiple times a day just asking God, help me. Show me what you want me to do. Just give me the strength, Lord. And that's been my season here recently.
So restlessness in the transition.
Yes.
Yeah. I can relate to that a lot. How about you, Haley?
Yeah. Well, when I was thinking through that, I was in my early 30s. many years ago because I'm in my late 40s now. But when I was in my early 30s and I was a young mom, my mother was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And so that was a very restless time. She is still living and she is in remission. But ultimately, that led to some genetic testing in my family and finding out that I was positive for the BRCA gene, BRCA2 gene specifically. So that led me to have a prophylactic surgery to prevent ovarian and breast cancer. So that was pretty major surgery. Mm-hmm. So that was a very uncertain, very restless time that I had to totally rely on God to provide that rest. And it was literal rest after I had that major surgery that I had to just lean on not myself, mm-hmm. you know. And so, but I'm happy to say that was 15 years ago. And it has been, you know, when you look back on it, it's kind of like one of those things that it's kind of a blip now. But at the time, I just remember the restlessness and the rest that I needed through that season of my life.
Well, and I'm sure that the busyness of being a young mom, too, because yes. it's not like you can just sit down for weeks at a time
Correct.
When you have young children. What does rest look like to you? Because I think it looks very different for different people.
I literally like to just rest in real life.
Like veg out.
Literally lie down.
Right.
Yeah. Just take time to just be quiet, be still.
Yeah.
That's what I would say for me.
I agree with you. Rest is just sitting still, not moving. Let me just go plop on the couch for a second. Can I pick up my book? Can I listen to my own thoughts? I don't want to talk to anyone. Let's sit in silence. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think I said on one of the other recordings that rest to me is like an empty day on the calendar. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, but other people find rest in activity. I just am not one of those people.
Yes. Sounds like we're all on the same page about that.
So the idea of not knowing the answers, and not knowing the outcomes necessarily, how does Christ meet us in those moments?
Not knowing what the future holds? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like that. So it forces me to be completely reliant, is what that is a reminder of. Because I'm a firstborn and I'm a type A and I gotta know and I have to do list as well mm-hmm. and I gotta, and it, that's just not the way life works.
And that's what our culture preaches.
And that's what is our that, culture preaches.
You know, you've gotta be the one with the answers and you've gotta do all the things.
But thank goodness we don't have to
right.
at the same time.
Right.
That's what I end up humbled about a lot.
And I think the older I get, the more freedom I realize there is in, you know what? I'm not in charge of this. I mean, I'd love yes. to be in charge of it. I'm trying to be in charge of it. But when I finally give up and say, you know what? This is not my deal. I'm just here.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much freedom in that that I think we don't realize until we finally give in.
Mm-hmm. We should probably do that a whole lot more than we do.
And it makes me wonder, why do we not do it sooner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do we stew around for so long? And then when we finally give in, it's like, wait a minute, what was this is not bad. I'm mm-hmm. not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing, to me, is so hard because, like you said, you want to, you're a planner. You have to know what comes next. You have to know what comes next and what you want to do and what's expected. But bouncing off what Haley said, it's not up to us to know.
Right.
It's not up to us to know. We can make decisions only so far. And I think that's important to remember. me, myself especially, if you're in God's will, that decision that you make is not going to take you away from His path. He gave you those options. He gave you those choices, and you made that one. That's not going to remove you from Him. It's now in His hands. You can only go to a certain extent to what you know and what you have to work with. And at the end of the day, it's His plans.
Absolutely.
That's good stuff.
So another one of our invitations from God is to discipleship. And, I think that's an interesting word and concept. But basically, we've looked at two verses, one in John 12:26. It says, if anybody serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Another verse was from Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, said Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so we think about discipleship in terms of Bible study and life groups and that kind of thing. But if you go back to the verse in Luke, Jesus says, deny ourselves. So I don't know about you. I'm not very good at that. But how does that come up in your church life, in your home life, in your work life? What does that look like?
I feel like you almost stand out a little bit more. There's something that radiates off of you that isn't seen elsewhere when you have the love of Jesus in your life. And when you're following Christ, it's almost as if you give off a different persona almost. One of the prayers that I pray is, Lord, when people meet me, let them see that this young lady knows Jesus. I hope I radiate that to every new face that I meet, that I know Christ. So you almost feel a sense of comfort, or people radiate towards you more. And I feel like especially in your work life, you can do things a little bit differently than others, or you can speak about things differently or refrain from things differently. And that just sets you aside from your coworkers and anything else that might be brought into the workplace. And with your friends, I think it's very important to surround yourself with like-minded people, those who are on a journey with Christ in you as well. So it's a light that you give off. It's seen in Christ-like people.
And where does that light come from? I mean, I know it comes from Jesus, but how do you keep it burning every day?
Your relationship with Him is so important. I feel like my relationship with Him is so important. One thing that I do daily that is a non-negotiable for me is my Bible and quiet time every morning. And that is the very start of my day. I can't do anything else before I do that. And I think that plays a big part of my day in how I go out into the world. I've read my Bible. I've done my devotional. I've had my quiet time with Jesus, and I've talked to Him and listened to Him. Now I'm ready to conquer my day and take on my day. And because I have read His word and heard His word, I can now put this out into the world. Into the world.
That's excellent. Yeah.
I agree. I am in the fourth year of committing to doing the Bible recap.
Mm-hmm.
And that I found is, I might be considered cheating on this, but I have it read to me. Because I usually listen to it in my car, but I'll have the Bible read to me, and then I'll listen to the recap. And something that I thought, oh, I'll just do that for a year, and I'll read through the Bible in a year. But I've realized how just important that is, an anchor in my day and in my life. So that's become a holy habit of mine, and I just love it. It is. There's almost no excuse not to do that, because
right.
It's so easy in 2024 to have access to that. So that's something that's really important to me. And then I just I'm fed by weekly worship that we have on our campus, and so just grateful for those opportunities. And then Jack and I are on our, I think I figured this out correctly, but we're on our 12th year of teaching fourth grade Sunday school.
Mm.
And that is a humbling time for us. We love it. We love that grade. We love that age. But sometimes weekly, we are just challenged by some of their questions that come from their bright minds. So mm-hmm. anyway, that that aspect is such an important part of spiritual growth in our lives. We love that.
It's not just enough to have a personal relationship. There also needs to be some sort of community aspect to it. Yeah, I like
that. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100%. My Bible study Tuesday night on Zano is something that I look forward to, as well as Sunday worship, of course, but I long for those. I'm so excited to start my week and know I have this to look forward throughout my week, to see my community, to see my friends, my Christ-like friends. I also think it's important to be with that community and that group of those friends outside of church as well. A big thing in our DYP group here, we go to lunch after class and we make plans to do something later in the week as well, with either all of us or however many of us can get together.
Right.
I also think Sundays, Wednesdays, Tuesday nights, any other day of the week is a good day to be with your Christ community.
Right.
And I look forward to making plans with those friends and just seeing them, because you can get poured into any day of the week. You can get poured into any day of the week. And that personal relationship with God is just as important as those relationships that you build in His community, because He does not want you to do this alone. And that's something that I'm finding in my journey. I can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone.
Right.
God, please continue to put these Christ-like people in my life that want to be around me and who I want to be around. And we want to see each other grow.
Yeah.
So I so agree with you.
I like what you said, though, because it's sort of about making plans to be together, because that kind of points to the intentionality of it. It's real easy to be very caught up in your own schedule and your own work and your own family. And so I like that you mentioned that y'all make specific effort to be together outside of, you know, quote, life group time. So scripture in general, obviously, is a big part of this, but what are there specific scriptures that you've seen that are living and active in your life? We talk about just outside of either your daily study, but just things that have come back to you over and over again from Scripture.
I would say, and something we talk about weekly with our fourth graders is we literally open our Bible and we read from it. And a lot of times I'll say, you know, follow along with your eyes and your finger and your ears, just so you can absorb all of that. But that is a way. We talk mm-hmm. about it weekly. We kind of pound it in our lesson that's the way that the scripture becomes alive, is literally reading it out loud. And that is how it is active and alive. And so specifically, chapter of Psalm that was so important in my life, it was shared with me when I was in graduate school, is Psalm 139. And that has just been a chapter that I've consistently, I go back to, I listen to it, I read it. It is verses that resonate with me. And it reminds me that He's always with me. He knows me. He made me. He has a plan for me, and He leads me. And so that's just one scripture that I just have rested on, has resonated in my life.
And do you find yourself being surprised at how often it comes to your mind?
I do.
I mean, and you think, I don't even know that I remembered that I remember that.
Yes.
That'll get worse as you get older, I'll just tell you, because I'm older than you, so I know. But yeah, and I know Pastor David often will say, you know, if you have your Bible, circle this word or mm-hmm. underline this thing, or, you know, make a note of any questions you have. I mean, I think it is one of the ways it's active and living, is that we do engage with it. And whether you write in your actual Bible or whether you print it out on some other format and write with it that way, there is something to the activity of marking pages, I mean, marking phrases and marking names and all that kind of stuff, that does help it be more, you know, more central.
Now, I must admit, I never used to write in my Bible. I refused to put a pen on that paper. I refused to highlight anything. Now, not so much. I will color code my Bible. I will ink through it. I have a few ripped pages. It is amazing.
Yeah.
It turns my study time into something so much more. Your connection gets stronger with God. You're taking things in on a deeper level. I also used to not read my Bible out loud. Read in my head, pray in my head. Reading my Bible out loud is something that has become relatively new to me, like here within the last 2 months. And I can just see the transformation of hearing the living, breathing Word of God out loud to myself in my quiet area. And the impact that it makes is so good.
I'm going to have to try that. So good. That's great. I like that.
So the third invitation, and we've kind of touched on it, but is to abide with Christ. And so in layman's terms, that means mainly like just to be connected to Him. What does it look like for you to be connected with Him? I think we talked about you said you had a holy habit. Obviously, there's the daily connection, but what, just in general terms, how do you remain connected to Him?
One thing we were taught in Sunday school was a continued prayer, not ending your prayer with amen, talking to God throughout the day. So you say your morning prayer, you talk to God, but not ending it. So maybe around lunchtime, you have something else to say, and you continue that prayer. Mm. And you don't end it there, because when you get off work, you got something else to say. And I think that's been really helpful, continuing to be in conversation with God, just knowing that it doesn't end there, but He's always listening. He's always there, and you can pick that up anytime. That's been really helpful for me. And one thing that I also do on a daily basis that just brings me closer to Him, every time I get in my car, I ask God, ask me for safe travels, that I make it back home safely. Wherever I'm going throughout that day, I just pray that You guide me and let me make it back to my home safely. That has been a daily habit for me as well. And I've been doing that the last 2 years since I've started my independent journey.
Wow. I've struggled with always wanting there to be some sort of background noise. And so I've really started trying to, when I'm in the car, just, you know, run into the store, run into church, or, you know, running errands kind of thing. I've started trying to leave all the stuff off. So no podcast, no music, and really just kind of try to spend that time in prayer. And even on the days when maybe my morning doesn't go the way I thought it would, and I don't have all the time I want, in my quiet time, it's like, well, I can at least have 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, because that's the time I have in the car. So I've, you know, I'm better on it with it on some days than others, but at least try to focus on having some time when there's no background noise.
Car time with God is good, because you can get, as much as you can get in that 5-10 minute drive, like you said, mm-hmm. you can get a whole lot out. You can get a whole lot out. And your car is your area. Like, that is your quiet place. Like, I don't have to turn on the radio. And for me, I don't have anybody else in my backseat or in my area, so I don't have to talk to anybody. I can just mm-hmm. use this quiet time to, God, okay, the work day is over. Let me decompress to You. Mm-hmm. Or, God, I'm about to go to this event. Let me talk to You. The 10 minutes that it takes me to get here. Car quiet time is some of the best.
And I don't even always, I'm not even always talking. Like, sometimes that's where I make myself listen to God, because I think so often I get so caught up in talking to Him that I'm not always listening to Him. So it has been, it's been a good way for me to be intentional.
That's good. I like that. I'm going to circle back to something we talked about earlier in community. Christian community mm-hmm. is just so important in my life. I have a Sunday school group that we all got married around the same time in, so we were a young married class. We're coming up on 24 years, but we're no longer a class anymore. Like, we mm-hmm. physically don't meet together, mm-hmm. but we all still, there's a group that meets on a pretty regular basis. We kind of make, it's a little bit harder once everybody starts living and kids and parents and all that, but we really do, although we're not physically together anymore, we still have community with each other. Sometimes that's through a group text. It's through praying for each other. Many times it's through fellowship. We do still have some fun and fellowship together. And then...
I think Jesus is okay with that.
Good. Good. But that group has pushed me. They've encouraged me. They've been there for me. We've seen life events like divorce and sickness, sickness of spouses, children challenges, and death of parents. And so through all those, that group has just been a group that I've leaned on heavily, and I will continue to lean on heavily. I'm so grateful for that community in my life.
You mentioned y'all teach fourth grade, and one of the things about Dawson that's so interesting to me that it continues year after year is just that it is so multi-generational, and there's not only lots of people of lots of ages, but there's families who, you know, two, three, four generations, and the aunts and the uncles and the cousins. Do you have people that are older than you and younger than you that sort of help in this community?
I do, for sure. I'm at Dawson because of that reason. Kristen Torres, her parents, the Wares, Jeannie and Bill mm-hmm. Ware, were friends of my parents when my dad was in dental school here. So they were in a Sunday school class together. I grew up in Mobile. They were here in Birmingham, but we always got together throughout the years. So when I ended up after Auburn, I was in graduate school here in Birmingham at Montevallo. And I used to go to the Wares every Sunday and eat lunch after I went to Dawson Singles.
Right.
And then it transitioned to, once I got married, our family had just stayed here. And so we've enjoyed relationships with my dad's fraternity brothers.
Right, right.
Down to, we love, you know, newer families that we get to, you know, we check the baby board every week when we're coming down and enjoy seeing names that we recognize on there. And then get so excited that there's so many names I don't recognize on there. Just, I love that about Dawson, how multi-generational it is.
Yeah, I've started working in the nursery on Sundays, and it's so much fun. And it gives you a bridge to know younger people, younger families. So,
mm-hmm. I don't have any family at Dawson, but I do feel like I've made a lot of new family here at Dawson. From older generations that pour into me since now, since I've been coming. The Hawthorns are some of my favorite people. I greet with them. They are some of my favorite people. They just make my Sunday every day.
Yeah.
And I've done All In for Him every year. And being with those littles and teaching those kids make my mm-hmm. heart so, so happy. So I think Dawson is amazing in that aspect. They want to reach out to everybody. There's a place for everybody here. And I can attest to that because I jumped right in. My first Sunday, John Blocker was so sweet to me. He was on the Greatest Ministry here, and he introduced himself to me and showed me where I needed to go. I went to the service. I went to a class at that time, and I ran into Mr. Sanders. He's over the Greatest Ministry. Mm-hmm. He invited me back the same Sunday, told me to come back. I want to join the team. I didn't know anybody, didn't know a face, didn't know anything. But I was at that Greatest Ministry.
That's great.
Something in me, and I've been on the Greatest Ministry ever since then. Older generations have just poured into me so much. My age as well, but just knowing that there are older adults that want and care about the younger generation is so inspiring. And I hope and my goal continues to be, as I volunteer and get involved, is to be that person for the younger
generation. Yeah, yeah. Well, you already are if you're working in All In for Him, yeah. So as we kind of wrap up, are there specific scriptures that you go to over and over again when you think about one or more of these invitations of Christ?
For me, mine is going to have to be Jeremiah 29:11, remembering that the Lord has good plans for me and to prosper me when my plans are failing, or when I don't know what I'm doing, or God, I don't know why I'm here, or what are you teaching me? And taking a step back to know that I am His child and He does not want bad things for me. Everything that He is doing for me is working in my good. And I think that verse is so comforting because it's out of my hands. Everything that He has for me can be so much better than what I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a comfort reminder that I don't have to get that to-do list done or have a plan Monday through Friday. Because no matter what, He's going to take care of it.
Goes back to that freedom.
Yeah.
We don't have to be in control.
I think we can all agree with Haley about uncertainty forcing our complete reliance on Jesus. And I love Jalen sharing that her time with God in the morning was a non-negotiable. Everywhere you are today, may you feel invited by Jesus to rest and to grow and to abide. Thank you for listening to this episode of Everywhere You Are. Please rate and review us on your podcast platform and share us with others you think would benefit from listening. To learn more about the Dawson Family of Faith, please visit dawsonchurch.org and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We look forward to meeting you.